Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, there's news breaking this morning in the last few minutes from Ukraine, where Russian forces are conducting rare daytime missile attacks on the capital, Kyiv, and other cities across the country. The very latest tells us that 20 people have been killed. This is according to the Ukrainian Interior Ministry, and 50 have been injured. And President Zelensky has said people are trapped under the rubble of the children's hospital in Kyiv. Well, we're joined now by James Waterhouse, Ukraine correspondent with the BBC. James, you're travelling, I know, from Lviv to Kyiv now. We have these reports of multiple attacks across the country. Can you explain to us what has happened?
As you say, this is a large-scale attack, and it's quite strange driving towards Kyiv, where I've been looking at a WhatsApp group and friends and colleagues have been kind of updating us all on the stage of the attack. At around 9 o'clock, more cruise missiles were on their way to Kyiv after several reports in the early hours of this morning by Russian bombers that were carrying out manoeuvres on the Caspian Sea hundreds of miles to the east. So it seemed that people in cities like Kyiv do get noticed for these kind of things, but there is the rare optic of cruise missiles that the Russians have recently modified to pack with more explosives, 800 kilograms now. Where Moscow clearly has no appetite for peace. Children's Hospital, the biggest in the country, has reportedly been hit in a very central district of Kyiv. We're seeing people in medical overalls help lift pieces of rubble to try to get to people. The nationwide death toll is at least 20. That will go up, and more, at least 50 have been injured. And cities like Dnipro in the east, and Kyiv, President Zelensky's hometown in the south, has been hit, as well as several settlements closer to the front line. So I think while, you know, Hungary's Viktor Orban, the president, courts Vladimir Putin and Moscow over the idea of peace and restoring dialogue, an attack like this shows just where Russia is at when it comes to trying to find a political solution with this invasion.
And what can we read into the fact that this attack has happened today, this daylight strike across so many cities? What does that tell us?
It's always difficult to make a direct connection as to why the Russians launch these nationwide attacks in the way that they do. And I think I gave up long ago trying to apply any kind of logic to it. These airstrikes may well have some military significance. The Kremlin has said in the case of if it was targeting a military warehouse, although the initial evidence seems to point to the contrary. But this is clearly a continuation of the Kremlin strategy of trying to suppress the Ukrainian population. This will do little to change how it occupies territory, to change how Ukraine tries to liberate areas where it can. It simply spreads terror in cities in all corners of Ukraine, including where I am now in western Ukraine currently. The idea for Moscow is to say to people, look, we can touch you wherever you are. The easiest thing for you to do would be to give up, to let us come in and take the country effectively. It's something they still brand as liberation.
I see in the last few minutes, Kyiv's mayor Vitaly Klitschko has been speaking to Reuters, standing beside the children's hospital, describing it as one of the worst attacks. You can see, he says, it's a children's hospital and it is heavily damaged. We know, as we were saying, James, at least seven people were killed in the city, but you believe that number overall is likely to rise. 20 confirmed deaths so far across Ukraine and 50 injured. That is the latest that we can see. But as this happens today, of course, we have the ground fighting still raging in the east. Can you give us a sense, an overview of what stage the war is at and the state that the war is at in that part of the country over in the east?
I think we were going to look at a kind of frontline headline. I think Ukrainians have managed to stabilize the northeastern part of the front line where Russia 3 months ago launched a major cross-border incursion. It is clear, perhaps because of America's green light for Ukraine to use Western supplied missile targets inside Russia, it is clear Ukraine has been able to suppress those Russian attacks. But we are still seeing incremental gains further south, notably around another city reduced to rubble called Chasiv Yar, which is under almost complete siege for the past 6 months. And I think this is, if you as we talk over the coming weeks and months, it'll be updates like this. Crucially for Kyiv, we're not going to be talking about liberation. We're talking about Ukraine hanging on. And politically, Ukraine trying to keep those political calls for peace at bay. But these kind of missile attacks on cities, on people, when you see these defining images of a children's hospital, occasionally you get these searing images. This will only galvanize Ukraine's political will to try and end this war on favorable terms. But the reality is wars have a shelf life. They cannot last forever. People continue to die. And the question of what an acceptable loss is and what the likelihood of a Ukrainian victory could be will not go away.
James, we'll let you get on with your journey from Lviv to Kyiv, and thank you for joining us on that breaking news from Ukraine, where there have been multiple strikes on cities across the country. James Waterhouse is Ukraine correspondent with the BBC.